advanced country debt consolidation slowed and then stopped in the 1970s. Slower growth made for larger budget deficits and higher debts. Although less growth meant that tax revenues would grow more slowly in the absence of policy action, the rise in spending did not slow commensurately. Politicians felt pressure to maintain social spending as real wages stagnated and unemployment rose. Legislators needed time to agree on spending cuts, more so as political polarization and legislative fractionalization began to rise. This story is unsatisfactory insofar as the roots of the post-1973 growth and productivity slowdown remain obscure. It is incomplete in that these disturbing fiscal trends were already evident prior to the slowdown. Indeed, a rising ratio of government spending to GDP had been apparent in much of the OECD in the second half of the 1960s, that is, for nearly a decade prior to the growth slowdown. The United States is a case in point. In attempting to balance the needs of new society programs, such as Medicare, Medicaid, and aid to education, with those of the Vietnam War, total outlays of all levels of government rose from 27% of GDP in 1965 to 31% in 1973. Similar increases in public spending ratios attributable to social programs were evident across the advanced country world. The increase was largest, rendering government spending highest in Denmark, Sweden, and the Netherlands. This heralded the development of what eventually became known as the Northern European or Scandinavian welfare state. Against this backdrop, the first oil price increase from the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, founded in 1960, and the post-1973 growth slowdown were problematic. Governments had staked their popularity on new social programs. Believing the oil shock and productivity slowdown to be temporary, they chose to finance those programs, running what they understood to be temporary deficits. They adopted bridging policies rather than adjusting. They pointed to their budget deficits as consistent with a commitment to full employment. Even when it became apparent that the growth slowdown was persistent, it was still hard to adjust spending, especially in countries such as Belgium and Italy, where multi-party coalition governments complicated efforts to reach and sustain a consensus. As inflation rose, real interest rates turned negative, as they had after World War II, encouraging governments to keep borrowing. Just why nominal interest rates didn't rise with inflation is something of a mystery, even today. Lacking experience with a 1973-style oil price shock and economic slowdown, investors may not have expected inflation to persist. Banks and markets were flush with petrodollar deposits that the oil-exporting countries had yet to spend. We will turn next to the role of petrodollar recycling in lending to less developed countries, LDCs, between 1973 and 1982. The point here is that those same funds finance the budget deficits of the advanced countries at rates favorable to the borrowers.